Coming up on Traveling with the Mouse, we are starting into a new mini-series, and we are going to be exploring three different things, three, involving the Magic Kingdom today. That's coming up on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome once again, everyone, to Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host, John Martin, and I am joined, as always, by Adam Brown.
Hello there, everybody.
Exactly. And as I said in the intro, I was a little vague, so I kind of thought of this thing. I decided to call it 333 because I was thinking, okay, pick three attractions that you would do. Mm-hmm. Pick your top three as far as dining locations and even the meal there. If you can include what you specifically would get there or what are your favorite things at that place as well. And the top three snacks choices for each one. Thinking of this, I was like, it'd give us something along the lines of doing a best or a countdown or what have you, and maybe keep it a little bit different than some of the ones we've done before.
Right. Putting a fresh spin on things.
We're going to cover different things. Other than the stuff that comes along new, obviously, we're going to cover different things probably many times over the course of the life of this podcast. And if I didn't mention that. I don't think I did. This is episode 105, and it is Friday, May the 18th. So there you go. Now you know what day it is and what episode number we're on.
Yeah. For those All keeping right, track.
So let's get back on track. If you were going to rank your snacks, your top three, could you do it in reverse order and start with what's your least of these three favorites?
I could. I'd say the third one is going to be the cinnamon roll at Gaston's Tavern. It's huge. Ah. It could serve like five people, and it's good.
Okay. And that's all you have to say about that.
I mean, it's a cinnamon roll. What else do you have to say? It's amazing.
Exactly.
And it's huge.
Gotcha. So. Okay, so for my number three, I'm actually going to go with what some would consider a surprise. And I say this because once upon a time, it might have been higher on the list. But I think it's partially because it is expanded to where it's in more places, and it's a little bit overhyped, might be the best way to describe it. Even though it's good still to me, I'm gonna go with my number three being the pineapple float at Aloha Isle. Yes.
Gasp.
I mean, it's good, don't get me wrong, but the way people have hyped it up over the last however many years, 10 years, we'll say, it's just become too big. I mean, it's just become like a legend as far as Disney goes. And it's, it's not worth waiting an hour for, which I don't know if that's ever really a possibility, but it seems like it could have been back at the old location. You wait quite a good while.
Yeah. And so, even with mobile order, I've had two experiences there, one where it was fairly quick and the other where it took like 15 minutes to get a mobile order. So it's hit or miss.
Or ice cream.
Yeah.
Or for substitute ice cream. It's a Dole Whip.
Well, they don't. It's funny. They don't actually make it until you show up at the counter with it.
Well, they don't want it to melt.
Right. So. It won't melt, but yeah.
But with this one, I still get the pineapple float. It might be higher on the list if they still had the orange Dole Whip, because my personal favorite combination was getting the pineapple float with the orange Dole Whip.
Yeah.
So it was just a mixture of those flavors. But now since they've done away with Orange Dole Whip, are you listening, Disney? Bring back Orange Dole Whip. You would have one of the better combinations, I think, there. I know that now they have pineapple upside down cake there as well. So I haven't tried that so far. Have you tried that one?
I did try it back in March. It's good, but it wasn't as good as I was hoping it would be. I was hoping for better. I didn't think the cake was that good for me.
So you were still underwhelmed.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what will be your number two
the on same
list?
The Dole Whip. Yeah. I can't give it a number one anymore. For some reason, I think it is overhyped, but it's still good. It's still refreshing on a hot day, and you can take it into the tiki room now if you wanted to. If you want to see the tiki room, go for it and bring a Dole Whip with you. That way you can enjoy it indoors instead of trying to find a place outside to
So to this drink is it. Number two.
Number two. You. Dole Whip.
So we just covered it all close together.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, we have similar likes when it comes to Magic Kingdom especially.
Got you. So with my number two, I almost put this one only because, gosh, I mean, it's only because I can't see myself putting something that's essentially a drink. It's just frozen apple juice. But I think it was because during the time I was there, it was August, and it was just really good in August because of the heat. It's going to be the LeFou's Brew over at Gaston's Tavern. So we've kind of gone to the same place. We just went in reverse order and got different things.
Yep.
If you've not been over to Gaston's Tavern, it's a neat place. I've actually been the last few times and gotten something. The cinnamon roll is something I've gotten there before as well.
Yeah.
But LeFou's Brew has become a favorite. It's, like I said, it's essentially frozen apple juice, but it's got that hint of toasted marshmallow, and it's topped off with all natural passion fruit mango foam. So that kind of adds that little extra, I guess. But, you know, on a hot day, it's especially good.
Yeah, I do love LeFou's Brew. That was going to be my number one as well, but I thought of another one that I really liked.
That, you thought of a different one?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to throw a curveball just to be different because we're agreeing too much on everything. So I'm going to go with Cheshire Cattail for number one.
Yes, you've talked about these.
Yeah, I've enjoyed
it. Loved it.
I did. I really, really liked it. It's basically like a chocolate Danish, but it's a nice, like, treat. It's kind of like a cinnamon roll, too, actually, but it's chocolate, and it's got the Cheshire Cat color frosting on top. So it's got the kind of purple and pink frosting with the chocolate on top, or in it, so, and it's shaped like a tail, so it's good. And it's over at the Cheshire Cafe right next to the teacups. So go get one. It's really good.
So for my number one, I almost went with something that's technically not a snack. I'm going to mention it, though, because it's at the same location. So I'm going to mention it. So I'm going to stick to something that actually can qualify, I guess, as a snack credit, so we don't get too far from from what the topic is. But I'm going to go to Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to go with a waffle with strawberries and whipped cream. Yes, yum, that is considered a snack credit. Yum. However, they do have a fresh fruit waffle sandwich, which is served with chocolate hazelnut spread, which would really be my choice. But it's not technically a snack. It's really
a meal.
Something you could actually eat. Yeah.
Right.
You could take this for your meal if you wanted to. So I can't really count that, although I'm going to give it a nod because, you know, that's just, I mean, how could you not like that?
Yeah, that is good. Nutella, basically.
I want one right now.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry as we speak.
Yes. So, dining locations, we're picking three of them. Now, if you want to, you can make them table service, or you can do a mixture of table service, quick service. I'm not going to put any restrictions as far as that goes on it, so if you want them to all be quick service or if you want them to all be table service, that's fine. If you want to mix them up. So your least of the three
in
dining option.
I'm going to just base this off of the ones I've experienced recently. So I'm going to go with Be Our Guest as number three just because I've been there so many times. It's good for lunch. So I'm going to say do lunch, not anything else. I think lunch is the better option. And there's a couple of things, but that croque-monsieur is the the sandwich I usually go. That's kind of my fallback whenever I don't want to try something different. But that they also have the braised pork with the mashed potatoes and the green beans is really good too. So, and, you know, everyone always gets the gray stuff, but I think the other, like the chocolate cupcake they have is actually better. So they have some pretty good desserts other than gray stuff, which, you know, it's okay. But if you go on your birthday and you have the birthday pin, they will give you a free one, at least in my experience they did. So when I went in February for my birthday, they gave me a free gray stuff. So cool.
I considered doing my three as this, but, you know, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
Which is probably a good thing since you covered it. We'll get some more diversity in here.
Yeah.
I've done this for lunch, and I did enjoy the croque monsieur, but it's a really good sandwich. I mean, it's essentially a ham sandwich, but it's a good quality sandwich and the stuff that comes with it and so forth. So I almost went with that. I think my downside to this was what you have to go through just to have lunch.
It's true.
And
it's a lot.
Just to get to this lunch.
Yeah.
And the experience outside of the main dining room doesn't really, I mean, you're either eating in the dark or you're eating in a room that just threw together. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's true. The negatives outweigh the positives. I'm sorry. I know people love this place, but the negatives outweigh the positives for me. And the fact that the rest of my dining party, like the thing that they ordered outside of, you know, my sandwich was good, but theirs was dry. Of course, they opted for it to be dry, but I tasted it. It was all right, but it was not the level of the ham sandwich that I was having. Yeah, basically. Sure. So I opted not to put that as my number three for those reasons. And I decided to go with and this one's a good one. It used to be one of my favorites. So it's kind of three on my list. And it is a quick service. And it is Pecos Bill's Tall Tale Inn and Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why this bumped up outside of that is, you know, for the price you get, and you also get the fixins bar included.
Yeah.
No matter what you order. So, and you can just about make a meal out of the fixins bar if you wanted to. It's just that extensive.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how I felt about it at first, but they kind of mixed things up there. I kind of like the, as it's called, Tex-Mex, because they kind of combine the two. I kind of like that they went with that. It actually fits the theming a little better.
For sure.
However, I know it's the Disney cheeseburgers, but, you know, you do have the bar, so you can put whatever you want on it as well, but I would go with the bacon cheeseburger there when I go there most of the time. I mean, like I said, I know it's the Disney cheeseburger, but another one just kind of on the side, the beef nachos also.
Mm-hmm.
That's another good option. So to talk about it a little more. But
right, and this is my number two, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I'll give an honorable mention to something else that's kind of shocking. That's why, so we can fill some time with that. But for me, it's the nachos, and you can just load that up with the toppings because they have, you know, jalapenos, salsa, lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, I don't know, banana peppers, all this sour cream.
I mean, if you like most of the stuff on the bar, you could really, like, order the cheapest thing there and then just
load it up.
Eat the fixins bar.
Right.
Pretty much.
That's why I usually get the nachos and just load it up because that can make a nice big meal for me. So
that's your number two. I was kind of surprised that was your two, actually, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there a lot lately, so it's another one I like. But you know what? I'm going to give an honorable mention to Cosmic Rays just because it's so, like, people hate on it so much. But the burger I had there was pretty good. It's probably the same burger you get over at Pecos Bill's anyway. And you have Sunny Eclipse to entertain you with. As long as you eat within 20 minutes, you won't hear him repeat his loop over again. But it's moderately entertaining, and they have a toppings bar at Cosmic Rays as well, so it's pretty good. It's not going to be amazing, but you're at a theme park, and it's, you know, quick service. It's not going to be incredible.
Right. So. You know, it's... Yeah, I've never... I got to be honest, I very rarely had bad experiences at any place that I've gone in Disney. If your expectations are like gourmet when you're going to Cosmic Rays, then yeah, you're going to be disappointed because it's not what it's meant to be.
True.
That's true with a lot of quick service places, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, your expectations have something to do with it. And I've never had a bad meal over there either. I think it gets a bad rep because of it being ordinary food, so to speak, for the, you know, the place for ordinary food over there. But, you know, that's what most kids are going to go for.
Right.
So that's why it's probably a popular place as far as people actually eating there.
Yeah.
It's just the reviews on it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I haven't had something that's like so awful that I can't eat it. I've had stuff that's like, this isn't great, but it's still food and I'm hungry. I'm going to eat it. It's not, I'm not looking for a 5-star experience every time I eat a lunch, you know.
It's like I had a bad experience at Coral Reef.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I was there, it had little to do with the food. It was the service and really the timing of the service, because the lady that was serving us was okay, but it was more the timing of everything and it being particularly slow, and that is that affects your opinion of the whole dining experience in general. Sure. You know, and it takes a lot for me to notice the speed thing, just because I'm a relatively patient person. I mean, I know sometimes things get a little bit behind others, but you know, there's a timing effect when it comes to especially table service dining that needs to be adhered to. And, you know, if they were short or they had something else going on, that's fine. You know, just kind of let me know what's going on, you know.
Right.
Don't just ignore the fact that we've been waiting as long as we have, you know.
Right. Communication is key.
Like, I think someone was actually born while I was in there or something. You know, it's how long it was.
Well, I can always tell the level of service by how quickly they're able to refill my water or my drinks, whatever it is. If they're not fast or they don't refill it at all, which happens frequently, then they're not getting great service.
And see, for me, I think, you know, I don't like it to be done too quickly. Like, I mean, I've taken a sip and you're already starting to pour in it.
Know? There's a balance. Yeah. It needs to be half.
Right. There's a balance.
Half empty.
Okay. So I know that went off on a little bit different tangent, but
number two
is been my consistently favorite quick service over the last, we'll just say 10 years, pretty much. It's probably been that long.
Yeah.
That being Columbia Harbor House.
Yep. I knew that would be on your list.
The option as far as tables, you know, you have a good deal of space and you got top and bottom you can choose from. I like seafood combinations. This isn't like gourmet seafood by any means, but it's good for what it is. And it's the quality as far as quick service is one of the best. As I do most of the time, my fish option is probably going to be salmon. So that's what I usually get here. Although I have also done the combination platters that involve like a combination of chicken and fish or something along those lines. But I've never had a bad experience there. And again, it's one of the consistent places. So it consistently gets my praise.
Yeah, and I would say for a tip for most people, if you're eating there, most people tend to stick downstairs. So if you go upstairs, you're probably going to find more tables. And you have really cool views out those windows of Haunted Mansion or the Liberty Boat or stuff like that. It's nice to look at.
Until we grow to the popularity where there's going to be just way too many people up there on this podcast. Just keep it, you know, you can just keep it to yourself for now.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure the secret's getting out.
All right. So we're on your number one now. So
We're probably going to agree, aren't we, on number one? Should we just say it 3-2-1? Liberty Tree Tavern.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Liberty Tree Tavern.
Particularly for dinner, although the lunch does a good job as well. It's a little different offering at lunch, but
I mean, it's, what do they call it, a fixed menu, so you get what they bring to you and you get a lot of it. The mashed potatoes were my favorite. They were so good. We got more of those, and it was just three of us eating, so we devoured those mashed potatoes. And you get a selection of meats. It's usually turkey, some sort of like pork tenderloin, and a roast beef. And it was,
you have pot roast.
Pot roast,
roast beef, same thing. That's what they call it, but.
Yeah, delicious.
I actually think, you know, it's funny. I had a favorite meat, I think, and I think the turkey was my favorite of the meats that were on the table, if I remember right, the last time I was there.
Usually my favorite is the one I just ate some of. Like, this is gotcha. Amazing. Yeah.
You know, there was, and if you, you know, it's one of those things, again, it's one of those they bring it to you. If you want more of it, they're going to bring you more of it. You know, it's not, you're not limited to what they just brought you. Really good mac and cheese here too, I think.
Yeah.
As well. I mean, Disney does a lot of good mac and cheese recipes, but this is one of the good ones.
Yeah, so. And the salad, I think they give you a good salad at the beginning, which I thought was good too. I like the salad.
Yeah, it's like a mixed green salad. Mm-hmm. They have their own house dressing they put on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get your breads at the beginning, which is kind of like your cornbreads. If I remember right, it's the sweet cornbread, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. If I'm remembering, I could be confusing it with something else, but I think it was the sweet cornbread.
One of those, I don't know if they call them hard rolls, but they are usually a little on the crispy side, we'll say. Yeah. That's the best way to put it. The ooey gooey toffee cake to finish it off at dessert. So
yeah, whatever dessert they have, it's going to be good, so I like it.
Yeah, so it's all good. All right, so that takes care of dining since we both had the same one.
Yeah.
Kind of shorten that up.
Yeah.
Now, so probably, I don't know, this may be the easy part. It may not be. If you just have to pick three attractions that you consider your
favorite,
top three.
It's hard because there's so many.
Yes. And I have different criteria for how I base it, but I feel like I've got what I consider, for me, my three in order. So do you have your three? Your number three?
Thereabouts, yeah. Okay. Why don't you do yours first?
Or do you want me to go first this
time?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay, so for my number three at one time was probably my number one. Mm-hmm. At one point in time, but it started going down the list whenever I started thinking about the different, I guess, aspects of it. It's because it's one that's in both parks, and it's one that's the least of it. So I'm going to go Pirates at number three.
That's what I thought were thinking of.
And I say this, like I said, I put it down further down the list here only because it's incomplete compared to the Disneyland version. So,
yeah.
That's
yeah, for sure
basic.
It is.
The one thing they do better in Florida is the queue.
Yes.
There actually is one.
Right.
I mean, out in California, there's pretty much not one. I mean, it's just lines.
Yes.
To get inside the building, and then there's only drawings on the wall, and you can see the boats, pretty much.
Right.
Because there is one, and there actually is something to look at in the queue in Florida. That part's better. But
right, for sure.
As far as the attraction itself, it's just incomplete, pretty much.
Yeah.
So.
It's like three-quarters of the ride.
Exactly.
So, needs a little extra, but... Yeah, for me, you know, I'm going to go a little different just because I feel like I'm one of a few in my circle that really likes this attraction, and I feel like I have to defend it constantly, so I'm going to go with the Country Bear Jamboree. That's number three, just because I still think the show is really funny. I think it is close to the original version. So it's one of the few attractions that hasn't gone through, I mean, it's gone through a lot of changes, but it's the current show is similar enough to the original that it's still one that I can quote and sing all the songs I remember from being a kid, and it certainly needs updates. But
yeah, I mean, I don't. I would hate for them to mess with it too much. Maybe just spruce it up as far as just that kind of update, not update the actual attraction material. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like what it makes. I mean, I would never consider it in my top anything, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I would never want to see it go. You know, I can't disagree with it. I mean, if that's a good choice. So.
Yeah.
I actually have all three versions of the soundtracks that they've had over the years there, the Christmas version, the Vacation Hoedown, and this one, the original of this one, actually, not the current one, this trimmed up.
Yeah. So another thing, too, go back to our Frontierland episode if you want to hear more about what I thought of Country Bear Jamboree and some of the history behind it, because that's the main reason why I'm going to throw it on this list, just because I feel like it's dwindling in people's minds is something they want, especially newer generation don't like it. So this is one I, as you said, I don't want to see changed.
Okay. So let's move on to number two. And, you know, I've had a number of attractions that I could have put in these spots. Some that I enjoy, some that have different meanings to me. But what I'm basing this on is the entertainment value that I get out of it as a whole. And so I have to go with my number two being Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite of the mountain ranges there. And, you know, I actually enjoy all three of them. But the one thing about Splash is I think it has, and this is like the word of the year, but immersiveness. It has more immersive elements to it than do the other two mountains, for one thing. I feel like it encapsulates what they're trying to do there. And I think it fits better in Frontierland and Magic Kingdom than the Critter Country they have in Disneyland, just in the sense that I kind of like the country western music that they style that they incorporated here versus the very Disney-esque style they did out there. I just think it fits better. It's one of those that it's like, it's really part dark ride, part thrill ride, if you think about it. I mean, it gets categorized as a thrill ride because it does have such a big thrill element in it. But there's a lot of aspects of it that are dark ride. Mm-hmm. The majority of the aspects are dark ride.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just overall, it's one that I can do, even though it's a water ride and people talk about, you don't get that wet on it compared to, you know, other water rides like Collie River for whatever. It, you know, it really depends on where you are. And you're not going to, it's not like you're going to walk around the whole day soaked or anything after this one. Not likely anyway.
Because you're in the front, I think you have a better chance of getting wet, but.
Yeah. And it's still, to me, it's not that bad, but I don't know. People, opinions vary. But it's a complete attraction, if that makes sense. So that's why I put it as my two.
This is going to sound weird again. I'm just going to be weird today for some reason. I'm in a weird mood. But I'm going with Buzz Lightyear as number two. I just really enjoy doing this attraction lately. I don't know why. I enjoy the part of it. This version is not nearly as good as Disneyland's at all for a lot of reasons. And the queue is not great for this one. It needs to be updated and modernized. And the ride vehicles aren't as good. But I just have a lot of fun doing this ride. I enjoy it. Probably because I know where all the 100,000 point markers are now, or targets. So, but it's just fun. I enjoy doing it. It's kind of fun to, I always try to pose as silly as I can for the picture, just to be silly because I've done it so many times. I just think it's kind of fun to do something silly for the picture. Getting as high of a score as you can is kind of fun, and doing it with my son is a lot of fun. So he can hardly see over his little laser gun, but it's still fun to play with him. And so as far as fun, this one for some reason has risen to the top because I just have a lot of fun with it.
Okay. Currently for me, it's not even really on my list of like must do every time I go.
Yeah.
I've done the Buzz out in California, and the one in California is better than this one.
It is, yeah.
It's just of what I've seen of the Buzz Lightyears.
These attractions, yeah.
You know, worldwide. Of these attractions, what I've seen of the worldwide ones, this is probably the least. And it was the first one, so, you know, they had a lot to build on to improve on it. So maybe that's why. But it's, you know, I just, you know, it would be even better if they would just let you take the dead blasted guns off of the vehicle.
Yeah.
So that would raise it just for that reason.
That's true.
But, you know, it's one of those things. There's this, the one that has the most secrets as far as all these shooting games out. So people like know where this stuff is. So
yeah.
Which are that also takes a little bit away from it to me, but I'm not going to diss it by any means.
No. But,
okay. So my personal number one, and since we are talking about Magic Kingdom, and again, this is one of the reasons why it switches depending on the park, the most complete, whether it be the outside facade, the inside story, the complete inside Haunted Mansion, is my current number one attraction in Magic Kingdom. Like I said, it's varied over the years, but it's my current number one. Theming, music, the stories more complete than Disneyland's much like the Pirate story is more complete in Disneyland than Walt Disney World. I like the look of the facade building better than the one in Disneyland, even though I like both, but I just prefer the style mansion that's in Florida. And what can I say? I mean, it does a good job of presenting itself as a place filled with ghosts without necessarily being so scary that kids would be frightened out of their minds when it's all said and done. It's not likely to happen. So
yeah.
And they make it fun.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. I think my favorite part is still the dining room scene where you go through and there's so much detail in there to look at. I always try to find something new.
It's true. Yeah. I look at, there's a main focal point and I tend to, when I'm in there, even though I'll glance at that part, but I look at the other parts, you know, like you said, there's so much to look at in that room. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of true with the graveyard scene to a degree, even though you kind of turn and face most of those though. So,
right. Yeah. There's, if you look around, in the graveyard scene, there's stuff, all kinds of stuff that I didn't notice before. So now I'm just looking for things I haven't noticed before. It's kind of fun to do.
I've questioned the way the ride flows, whether people have really noticed that, you know, there's that one section where there's banshees like flying up, like there's a crypt where banshees are flying up.
There's stuff where people don't, if you really kind of focus your eyes in the dark to see like behind the stuff that's right in front of you, there's kind of all kinds of stuff.
And I'm not talking about the ones you see when you first come into the room. I'm talking about near the end for those that might be saying, oh, I see those easily. No, that's not the part I'm talking about. So,
gotcha. Yeah, I think any of these attractions that we're talking about could be in my top three any day, because there's others that I thought of, like, you know, People Mover, Jungle Cruise, those kind of things. I love all these, and any given day, depending on my mood, might be in my top three, but for the time being, my number one is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. I just love it. It's a nice, lengthy roller coaster, unlike Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is over before it starts. So this one has, you know, three lift hills, all three after good lengths of sections. I think one section of this ride is longer than Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So you get your money's worth, I feel, on this ride. And the theming is fantastic. And it's just a lot of fun. It's why I'm just going to call it my number one for now. I just enjoy it. And it's classic. So as far as I'm concerned, the best roller coaster right now, because Space Mountain, to me, is, especially, you know, once you're doing it at Disneyland, the new track and trains that they have at Disneyland, or newer, is just so much better. And I really hope that once Tron comes along, that Space Mountain can get a good long refurb for a complete rebuild, honestly, so that it's more modern and updated.
So let me ask you this. You kind of did the comparison there with the two, say, out in California. Between the two, which do you choose?
Well,
as
I would probably choose out California. Space Mountain there.
See, okay, so it does make that much of a difference then.
Yeah, with the caveat that it's the Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain, because that was really fun. Being able to, it really gets you into all the turns and twists when you're, you know, you can really get into feeling like you're flying around and shooting at TIE fighters and stuff. That was a whole lot of fun. So it just makes it even better than it normally is.
Okay.
So.
All right. And, you know, talking about Big Thunder, I think it's really one of those, I would call it a family coaster in a way, because it's one that most people can ride, whether you're, you know, you're just getting into that stage where you can ride roller coasters, or if you're, you know, say, a little bit older and don't really like the thrilling ones anymore, or for health reasons don't like the thrilling ones as much anymore. It's kind of in the middle. It's kind of one of those where you can enjoy it together type thing. I could say the Dwarves Mine Train is, but this is kind of like a step up from that, just a little step up from that.
It is.
And the queue there, for the most part, is, you know, especially on the busier days, it's mostly just looking at wood, walking back and forth in lines. But
yeah, it's not a whole lot.
The outside part, there's a little bit to look at there, particularly that box that says Litiman Hide on it, and it's dynamite. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's little elements like that that's fun. I think my favorite part of the attraction there is there's like this, I don't want to call them loops, but it is kind of like it's a curve that goes around in a full loop, yeah, pretty much.
Like the helix.
But it's the longest one, mm-hmm, I guess, on that ride, and it's the one where you get the most pull down force, yeah, on it. It's my favorite part of that ride.
Yeah, and I love the one, I'm not sure if this is the one you're talking about, the one that goes basically right out into the rivers of America, and it's fun to watch that part too.
This one's like the last one before you get to the little ending part, and you go into the dark for most of it. You go into the cave, the dark for most of it, and it's the curve to start it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I like the one that goes out the rivers of America too, because you can see a lot there, and it's fun when you're on the boat, the Liberty Bell, to look at the ride go by. It's kind of fun.
I know you spent a little bit of time elaborating on this one, but I thought of a moment in particular. It was back in 99, I believe it was. We were riding Big Thunder Mountain at nighttime, and it just so happened that when it came to that curve you're talking about that looks at Rivers of America, it just so happened that the Liberty Bell just happened to be cruising by with all the lights on it at that moment, and that was really a very picturesque moment. You know, it's one of those things that you just hit just right.
You have to be lucky, but it's fun.
All right, so that wraps up the first edition of 333. I thought it went particularly well. Let us know what you thought about it. You can contact us on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram, all at TWTM Podcast. Be sure to check out our Spreadshirt store, which is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. You can get your TWTM or Traveling with the Mouse t-shirt. You can get it on a coffee mug if you want. That and much more. shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast.
And you can also email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com or visit us on the web travelingwiththemouse.com for all of our episodes. You can check them out there. And patreon.com/TWTM podcast. If you would like to be a monthly contributor and help out the show, you will also get some extra content for being a patron.
All right, so that concludes this episode of Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next journey.